I know that they were probably more popular years ago, but how many of you are still fans of the comic strip Peanuts? Any of you? A few? Most of us are a little bit older. We remember that. That's not quite as popular maybe now as it was kind of back in its heyday, but still fairly popular. I want to begin this morning with a strip from the Peanuts comic strip series. This is Linus and Lucy. Linus has drawn a cartoon, and he goes to his sister, his big sister, wanting to know if she thinks it's funny. Look at this cartoon, Lucy, and tell me if you think it's funny. And Lucy, being the big sister she is, asks, "Who drew it?" "I drew it," Linus says, obviously somewhat proud of what he's done. And big sister says, "Then I don't think it's funny." From that comes a line that has been made fairly well known to a lot of people with Linus here. Big sisters are the crabgrass in the lawn of life. Have any of you ever been the crabgrass in someone's lawn? To ask it another way, have you ever rained on someone's parade? I don't think any of us want to be crabgrass in the lawn of someone's life. I don't think we want to rain on someone's parade. But if we're not careful, we can find ourselves being more pessimistic than optimistic, more crabgrass than bluegrass, more rain than sunshine, more discouraging than encouraging. Which is too bad, because if there is one thing that most of us need on a regular basis, it is encouragement. Encouragement is vital for healthy relationships and life. A fellow minister by the name of Rod Cooper wrote these words about encouragement. He says, "Encouragement is like a cool breeze on a hot summer day. It revives and refreshes." Encouragement is like a cold drink of water to a parched throat. It renews and gives strength. Encouragement, he says, helps you overcome when you feel overwhelmed. It helps you soar when you feel like you're sinking. It helps you be a victor when you feel like a victim. Encouragement, he says, is like high-grade fuel. It takes the knock out of living. Those of you who tweet ought to tweet that line to your friends today. It takes the knock out of living. Unfortunately, living in a broken world like we do, we often experience more discouragement than encouragement. Since the day that our spiritual forefathers, Adam and Eve, ate the forbidden fruit, human beings have had to deal with discouragement, disappointment, defeat, disillusionment from all kinds of sources. In a broken world like the one in which we live, discouragement is the daily companion of many people. In fact, maybe some of you arrived here this morning with hearts that are somewhat burdened by situations that have left you feeling discouraged or defeated or disillusioned. Maybe things are not going well for you at work, and you're discouraged by those circumstances that you have to face every day in your place of employment. Maybe some of you are presently in a relationship that you value and you treasure, but it's not going well. In fact, maybe it's falling apart around your very eyes. And that has left you somewhat discouraged and disillusioned. Maybe the dreams you had for yourself as a young man or a young woman have not materialized, and life has just not turned out the way you had hoped and envisioned it doing, and that has left you feeling disillusioned and discouraged. Perhaps your faith is failing, or the faith of someone you love, and the prognosis is not encouraging, and it leaves you with a deep sense of disappointment and discouragement. Maybe you're trying hard to change something about yourself that you don't like. Maybe you're trying to lose some weight, or maybe you're trying to quit smoking, or maybe you're trying to quit drinking, or maybe you're trying to quit being so critical. But lately, it seems like for every step you take forward, you take two steps backwards. And you're disillusioned, you're discouraged, you're not convinced you're ever going to be able to change whatever it is that you're trying to change about yourself. Maybe you're not doing well in school, and it's got you discouraged. Maybe you're trying to climb out of a hole that you've dug for yourself financially, and no matter how hard you try, though, you can't seem to reduce the debt that is crushing you and your family. Maybe you're battling a specific sin or temptation, but you just can't seem to shake it, and it's got you discouraged. Maybe you've been praying a specific prayer for a long time, and it just seems like God isn't answering that prayer, and you feel defeated. Maybe you've been trying to witness to someone and share your faith in Christ with a loved one or a friend or a coworker, and it just seems like nothing you say makes any difference, and you're disappointed in yourself that you're not better able to share your faith, or you're disappointed that this person just can't seem to see what it is that you're trying to help them see about Christ, and you're disappointed. Disappointment and discouragement can come at us from all kinds of angles and from all kinds of sources. And often we come into this environment and we put on that nice happy face and we smile and it looks like everything is good on the outside, but on the inside we're deeply discouraged, we're deeply disappointed, disillusioned, maybe wrestling with feelings of defeat, and yet we act like everything is okay. I suspect some of you this morning, regardless of what it looks like from the outside, inside, are dealing with something that is discouraging you, something that is just not right. And if that is the case, as I suspect it is, if you're experiencing some type of discouragement in your life this morning, then I would like to say to you, it is good for you to be here, because this is the place where encouragement is to be given and received. In our continuing look at the theme that we've been developing now for several weeks. Be the church. Don't go to church, be the church. I want us to consider this morning how we, the church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, are called to be an encouraging people. When the body of Christ assembles, those who are discouraged, those who've been disillusioned by something during the week, those who have suffered defeat, are coming into an assembly, a gathering, a time when they're with other believers of like faith, and in that gathering, in that presence of assembled believers, there is to be encouragement both given and received. In a letter written to Jewish Christians, many of whom were discouraged by the circumstances they were facing in life back in the first century, the author of that letter wrote these familiar words to many of us. "Let us consider," the writer says, "how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." Apparently, even in the first century, there were Christians who, when other Christians met, "I don't feel like going today. I'm tired. I've got something else to do." And so the writer here injects this: "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." If you've got your scriptures open to that verse, which by the way is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, in your Bible, the word "day" there may be capitalized. And that's an indication, we think, that the writer likely had in mind the day of the Lord that was approaching. That all the more we are to spur one another on to love and to good deeds, to encourage one another, all the more as we see the day, the coming day of the Lord, we believe is what the writer has in mind here. That when we assemble, when we meet, we are to encourage each other because there's a day coming that we want to be prepared for, that we want to be ready for, that we want to be longing for. And so we gather, we assemble, and we encourage each other to be ready for that day. Many believe that those to whom the letter of Hebrews was addressed, we believe that some of those folks were becoming so discouraged that maybe they were thinking about just giving up and maybe turning back on the faith in Christ that they had embraced. And so the writer of this letter writes with the purpose in mind of trying to remind these Christians that they had much to be encouraged about. In spite of whatever it was that they were experiencing that was discouraging them, they had much when they assembled together in the name of Christ to be encouraged about. And if you were to just kind of walk your way through the letter to the church, to the Hebrews, you would begin to see many of the things that the writer describes of a very encouraging nature. They and we have a Savior superior to angels and any other religious leader you might want to throw in there. Moses, Joshua were famous leaders to those to whom this letter was addressed. We have a Savior tempted like us, yet was without sin, so He knows what we're going through, understands what we face in a broken world. A Savior who made atonement for our sins, paid the price for our sins, did for us what we could not do for ourselves, and in the process delivered us from the power and the bondage to sin. Other things the writer talks about, we have a Savior who intercedes for us, who helps us in our weaknesses. We have a Savior who invites us to participate in a kingdom that cannot be shaken and that will not be overcome. And finally, we have a Savior who equips us with everything we need to do His will and to live lives that are pleasing to Him. These are just some of the encouraging truths that the writer of this letter draws out in this letter. If you were to read through it, you could probably find many other things, but these are just some of the ones that jump out at you as the writer seeks to encourage his readers. And so when we assemble, as we've done today, as baptized disciples and members of the body of Christ, we have much to be encouraged about. And so we're instructed when we come together into an assembly like this to encourage each other with these great truths and even others that we could highlight if we had the time to do that. We have much to be encouraged about. No matter what's discouraging us out there, when we assemble here, we're reminded of the many good things that we have access to in a relationship with Jesus. In fact, one of the express purposes given in Scripture for our assembling as we've done today is so that we might encourage each other. That's why we're here primarily. I fear, though, sometimes we fall into a way of thinking where we see the assembly, we see this time as what we come to give to God. And I admit there's an aspect of what we're doing here today that falls into that category. We've come to offer Him our attention. We've come to offer Him our praise. But folks, biblically speaking, what we're doing here this morning is not just about us, me, and God, but it's about us, the people of God. It's not just about you coming in here and singing a song to God. It's about us coming together and lifting our voices in praise, teaching and admonishing each other to keep the faith, to keep walking with Jesus. It's not just about you coming here and listening to someone pray. It's really about us coming together and uniting our thoughts in prayer as we pray about things that are important to us and people that are important to us. It's not just about coming here and you, in your own little cubicle, taking communion, the bread and the wine. But it's about us as a gathered people, remembering who Jesus is and how He's called us into this relationship with one another. And how He's not a dead Savior, but a risen Savior who lives in us and works through us. It's not just about coming here and listening to me preach or Mark preach or whoever happens to be standing up here, but it's about you opening up the Word of God yourself and those words being expounded and implanted in your heart and encouraging you to walk with Christ and grow in your faith. We share our resources that those in need might be served and blessed. The point of our coming together is that we are edified and encouraged in our faith as God's people. And all of these things that we do, the songs and the prayers and the sharing of communion and the sharing of our resources and the proclaiming of God's Word, They're all important. Don't want to downplay them at all. They're all needed. They're all important. They're all good. But I would suggest to you, even beyond those things that we do, the conversations that we have while we're here are as every bit important as these, what we sometimes call these five acts of worship that we go through. Don't mean to downplay them at all, but the conversations you have coming into this building with other disciples, the conversation you have as you stand in this room before we begin our assembly, the conversations you have as you leave, the interaction that you have with other believers, that's where encouragement is also offered and given and received. But sometimes I wonder if our conversations and our fellowship and our interaction with each other, it seems to me that sometimes, and I'm as guilty of this as others, it falls a little short of what it really needs to be. This past week, Mark and I have attempted to do something this morning that we hope will make, illustrate the point that I'm trying to make here. And so with Alex's help, we put together a couple of clips that we offer to you, and hopefully they'll help illustrate the point I'm trying to make here. Here's the first one.
Man, did you see that game the other night?
Yeah.
Game?
Yes.
Did you go to it?
Or? No, I didn't. Didn't get a chance to go to it, but watched it on TV.
Yeah,
I about lost it when that dude hit a 30-foot
bank shot. He didn't even call it.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hey. What's up?
Yeah, that one, and yeah, when the guy hit the game winner, I just about, I wanted to throw my phone.
I know.
If I'd have been there, I'd embarrass myself.
I've embarrassed myself in the house with nobody there but Dana.
Yeah. And then
crazy.
When you go into the store and you say, I need to replace my phone, and they're like, what'd you do?
I threw it at a ball game.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wow. What you got going on later?
I'm getting ready to go work out at the gym.
Okay. Where you go?
Quest, Mr. Den's place.
Yeah. Gotta be careful where I go to do those sorts of things.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Not much. Going to go to Walmart with the wife here in a little
Walmart.
Bit.
Walmart.
Got to get some groceries.
Good place to go, Walmart.
Yeah. Well, it depends. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Well, y'all be good.
All right. See you later.
Okay. Bye.
You ever had any of those conversations?
Man, did you see the game the other night?
I did. Murray and Belmont.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, did you go?
No. I just watched it on TV.
What about that bank shot that guy hit?
25 feet away, top of the key. I knew when he hit that, we were in trouble.
Yeah.
Crazy. I lost it, though, when he did that.
Oh, yeah.
Like an idiot, I'm standing there screaming at the TV. Like a complete fool.
I threw my phone at the TV. Didn't really hurt the TV.
Why do we do that?
Hey, y'all.
Hey,
guys.
What's up? I feel afterwards, it's like, man, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Losing it.
And I really feel bad when I have to go into the phone store and say, I need to replace my phone because I threw it. That makes me feel like a really idiot.
Yeah.
What you got going on later?
Oh, I'm getting ready to head to the gym here in a minute.
Where you go?
I go to Mr. Den's Quest.
Yeah. Yeah, got to be careful about that kind of stuff.
I know. There's a couple of girls there, attractive women, that wear yoga pants. And I hate yoga pants.
I hear you.
They don't leave anything to the imagination. I just got to leave the room sometimes, go to another part of the gym. And that, I don't know, man, it's like, you know, those thoughts, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I can have those thoughts at Walmart.
Yeah, you know, I know, there too.
Anywhere I go.
There too, anywhere you go.
Hey, why don't we duck in the room right here and just have a quick prayer?
Let's do. Right. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
surprised he didn't put on there that no ministers were hurt in the filming of this. Here's what happens. We come here and we talk about the ball game, or we talk about working out, whatever our hobby may be, work. Nothing wrong with that. But it seems like, and I'll just speak for myself, can't speak for you, but I'll try to speak for myself, in a lot of instances, those conversations stay at a pretty superficial level. You know, who won the game, or where we're going to eat, or in general, how things at work are going. We have those conversations. It's not like when we get up here in a moment, in 5 or 10 minutes, whenever I'm done, and we start to leave, we'll talk when we begin to leave. And when we come in, we talk. But do we really talk? Do we really get to what it means to be a Christian trying to live for Christ in this community? Or do we just leave it at a very shallow, secular, kind of worldly point? What we were trying to illustrate in that clip, and we're obviously not seasoned actors, and this touches a little bit on what Mark talked about last week, the idea of being transparent, of confessing to one another. When do we do that? And I know we're, you know, that we back up of that. Well, I don't think I want to do that because I don't want to tell my deepest, darkest secrets. And I get that, but I don't think anybody's really asking for that. We're just being honest about, you know, hey, when I go to the gym and there's an attractive woman in there with yoga pants, that's a challenge for me. There are times that I have to exit that area and go somewhere else in the gym. And I don't think I'm the only guy that has thoughts and experiences things like that. But from the depth of our conversations when we're together, we never talk about stuff like that, or we hardly ever talk about stuff like that. Why not? Why don't we bring Christ into the conversations that we have with each other so that we can encourage each other not to lose our temper when something goes wrong in a ball game or at work? So that we can encourage each other, hey, when you go to the gym, be strong. Remember who you are. Don't give in to that temptation to lust. Fight the good fight. Those are the conversations, the types of conversations that Christian people need to have somewhere, sometime. If not here, where? If not here, when? You see, I really think this was much easier in the ancient days of Christianity, when you were just gathered in someone's living room and you were just talking. As Winston Churchill, I think, once said, we shape our buildings and then our buildings shape us. And our buildings, the formality of our assemblies, makes it harder, I think, to have those kinds of conversations. And so we come here, we sing, we pray, we give, we share communion, we listen to a sermon. All of those things are good. All of those things encourage us. But the real encouragement comes when you share face to face with a brother or sister of Christ how your week was. When a face to face conversation, someone can say, I'll pray for you this week. Let's walk for Christ this week. Let's see to it that no root of bitterness develops in our heart this week. Let's live at peace with everyone this week. Let's make sure that sin doesn't harden our heart this week so that God can work in us and through us this week. Folks, those are the signs of mature Christians helping each other, encouraging each other, being the church. Let's strive to be the church. Let's quit playing a game and let's be the church. Let's be people who are doing what we can to really help each other be the people that God wants us to be. Let's use the opportunities that we have in assemblies and gatherings and times like this to really try to speak truth and faith and love and Christ into each other's lives. Because there's a day coming when Jesus is going to return. He's going to make everything right. And we don't want anyone to miss out on what that's going to entail. We don't want to leave anyone behind. We all want to go and be a part of whatever that's going to be. We don't want anyone here this morning who is hearing the sound of my voice to miss out on that. We all want to go. But life sometimes disillusions, life sometimes defeats, life sometimes discourages us, life sometimes takes the faith out of us, and we need a family to put it back into us. And if we come here and don't get that, we may not get it anywhere else. And so this is not just about coming into a building to do some religious things. This is about the people of God coming together to be the people of God, to love, to serve, to forgive, to confess, to encourage each other, to keep walking, to keep pushing ahead, to not let whatever it is that's disillusioning or disappointing or discouraging us from deceiving us to the point that we give this up, because there's a day coming when all of what's going on outside these walls is over. And what goes on inside these walls is helping us get ready for that day. So be encouraged. We have Jesus. And all of those things we talked about earlier that He's provided for us, and so many other things, we have reason to be encouraged. We have words of encouragement that we can share with each other this morning. Let's not fail to do that. Let's be the church that ministers to each other and blesses each other and encourages each other as the day approaches. So, let's do that. We're going to be dismissed here in a few moments. As you leave, bless somebody in the name of the Lord. Encourage them to live for Christ this week. Offer to pray for them. Let them know that we're in this together. Amen. 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 Bless somebody with me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you this week and give you peace.